So today's first reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. The second reading is from James, continuing on. So it's chapter 3. That's page 1381. 1381. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because we know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles and creatures of the sea, are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Thank you. Thank you for reading God's Word. We're going to continue to think about this passage in James. Please do have your Bible open. That page was 1381, James chapter 3. And we'll pray. We'll ask God to help us. Our Heavenly Father, as we think about your Word now, please give us ears to hear. Please give us hearts eager to respond to your word. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me share a weird fact about myself. Weird fact is that for some reason, I can't seem to watch superhero movies. Superman, Batman, I think the last one I tried to watch was Iron Man. And it kind of gets to the point where the world's in danger and he's putting on his suit. And then, I don't know what happened next, because I fell asleep. Give me a political satire. Give me a documentary about economics and I'm there. I'm glued to the screen. But I don't know what it is. For some reason, superhero movies just make me drowsy. But I did manage to stay awake for the whole of Spider-Man Episode 1. And I even remember the main lesson that Peter Parker, that's Spider-Man, the main lesson that Peter Parker had to learn. Now here it is. The lesson was, with great power comes great responsibility. You see,
Spider-Man and his Uncle Ben were sitting in the car, and his Uncle Ben was saying,
you know, if you've got this special ability, like, for instance, being able to shoot spider webs out of your wrists, then you can either use that for great good or for great evil. Well, today's passage, James tells us that each of us have something powerful. Each of us have something capable of great good, but also great evil. That thing is our tongue, which we use to make words. Read with me verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So the topic for today is speech, how we talk. The lesson for today is that if you want to be a practical Christian, sort out your speech. There's three ideas that James is getting across in this passage. Verses 1 to 5, he's going to tell us about the power of speech. Verses 5 to 8, about the destructiveness of speech. And then verses 9 to 12, he explains what your speech says about your heart. We speak all the time, don't we? So, I don't know, maybe because we speak so often, we easily underestimate the power of words. Did you know that according to research, the average man speaks 7,000 words per day? And that the same research found that the average woman speaks 20,000 words per day. So we can easily underestimate the power of words. James gives us two examples to help us understand what words can do. He says, first of all, verse 3, think about a horse. Horse, big, strong animal, much stronger than I am. But if I get on a horse, I can control it. How? By putting a little bit of metal in its mouth and pulling on the strings. Little tiny thing that I'm using has great power, allows me to control the whole horse. The second example he wants us to think about, verse 4, he says, think about ships. Did you know in James's day, the biggest Roman ships could weigh up to 500 tons when they were full up? Yet, by moving the little rudder on the back of the ship, one guy could control the direction of the whole thing. Likewise, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Why is it that the tongue is so powerful? Isn't it because we use it to make words, and we use words to relate to people? Friendships would be impossible without words. Just imagine, if there were no words, we tried to be friends. We could sort of sit and smile and nod and get so far, but it would be a fairly shallow relationship, wouldn't it? The whole of human society would be impossible without words. And that's one of the key differences between people and animals. Animals can communicate on some sort of a basic level. They can grunt and make sounds and sort of say, hey, over here, I found some food. But human systems of communication are so much more advanced. We can discuss the deep questions of life and the universe and God. It's interesting, even deaf people who can't properly make sounds have invented a way to still make words with their hands. Most importantly, words are not just for human relationships. Our new relationship with God started
with his word. Do you remember James chapter 1 verse 18? Look back at that with me. James chapter 1 verse 18. It says, he chose to give us birth through what? Through the... Have you found it? James chapter 1 verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. It's as God spoke to us that he changed our hearts. That the relationship between us and him became different. That's why we have teachers in the church. That's why we spend time with a focus on the Bible, on God's word, so that in response to God's word, we can draw close in our relationship with him. Of course, that means that teachers in the church have to be very careful with words. Because when people listen to a false message about God, that can affect their relationship with him. If they believe it and they relate to God in a false way. So teachers amongst us, you have a great responsibility. But James's message is not only to teachers. Because he says all of us can use our speech either to build or to destroy relationships. Did your mum ever tell you sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's something that mums sometimes say to cheer up a child who's been upset by something someone said. But actually, truth is, words can be far more destructive than physical harm. Verses 5 to 8, James tells us about the destructiveness of speech. He says, first of all, words can be like a spark that burns down a whole forest. And living in Victoria, I think we know about this. December 19th last year, a lightning strike near the Great Ocean Road led to the destruction of 116 homes. One spark. A big spark, a lot of destruction. Words can be like this. I read one story about a guy who turned up at a new school. He didn't know anybody. And he walked into the cafeteria at lunchtime. So think American high school cafeteria, like you see on the movies. He walked in. At first, nobody spoke to him. Everyone just looked and stared at the new guy. And then one of the kids said, man, you have one big nose. And this is what he writes about it. He says, I was mortified. I didn't know what to say. I wanted to cry, but I managed a little laugh, like it didn't really bother me, but it did. Every day from that point forward, I would look at myself in the mirror, and all I could see was that big, fat nose. It dwarfed every other feature. And I studied it from every angle, but kept coming back to the same conclusion. I was merely a life support system for a nose. It was my defining feature. Thankfully, I eventually grew out of this perception, but it literally took me 20 years. And even now, I'm a little self-conscious about it. So think about that. One stupid remark actually affected the whole course of this guy's life. And the person who said it probably doesn't even realise what he did, what he's guilty of. End of verse 8, James says, our tongues are full of deadly poison. Get a litre of water. Get 10 litres of water. How much poison do you need to make it dangerous? Just a drop. You can have so many innocent words, but it only takes one foolish, unthinking, unkind comment to deeply hurt someone. Can I say, as Aussies, we need to be careful about something in our culture? Have you noticed how Aussies often show affection by teasing one another, by bagging each other out. And sometimes people come from overseas and see a couple of Aussies doing this and it looks like we hate each other, but we get that, no, it's a friendly thing. It's a sign that I like you. But can you see how also it's dangerous? Because something that we say in fun can easily hit a sore spot. And while we're thinking about words, let's realise that it's not only spoken words that can hurt people. Today we need to be careful and thoughtful about what we say online, on the internet. There's a whole new way of using words. And I guess we have to be extra careful because sometimes it doesn't feel entirely real, like we're really talking to people. Until someone says something harsh about us, and then it feels real. It's so easy to write something dumb on Facebook and let out our frustrations on the keyboard and hit enter without thinking about where those words are going. And so I think we need to write online as if every person who's going to read those comments was sitting with us in the room next to us, because they're words from us to people. I read an article by an Aussie school teacher about cyberbullying, that is, hurtful things written online. And this Aussie school teacher said it's difficult to watch a kid be crushed by this type of behaviour, where they come into school and they've withdrawn into themselves and they don't make eye contact, and you can see the depression start to set in and they shut down. It's like the life has gone out of them, and you wonder what it will take to get them to come out again. And so speech gets used for great good and also for great evil. With our speech, verse 9, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And if you think about that, there's something there that doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense to be here at church and to sing songs about how Jesus is Lord and we're all brothers, but then to go home and tear somebody down with our words. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. But it is. So we have to think, what's going on when we come out with hurtful things? Is it just innocent mistakes? Well, James says, actually, our words point to a deeper problem. He says in verse 11, our words are like water flowing out of a fountain. James is actually picking up on something that his big brother once said. Jesus said, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Jesus says, what comes out somehow reflects what's deep inside. If you're talking rubbish, it's because your heart is full of it. Do you remember that song? Did you ever sing the song in primary school? Wrist bone connected to the arm bone connected to the shoulder bone. James's message. Mouth bone, tongue bone, connected to the heart bone. He's saying if you've got a problem with your words, it's because you've got a problem in your heart. If you've got a problem in the way you speak to your friends, if you've got a problem in the way that you speak to your family, if you've got a problem in the way that you speak to people at work, it's because there's a problem in your heart. See, we've been reading James, trying to think about practical Christianity. And I found, I go to James and I say, James, teach me to be a practical Christian.
And he ends up telling me about my heart. James wants us to realise that our problems run deep. He wants us to realise that if we want to practically live for Jesus and show the character of Christ in our lives, we need our hearts sorted out. He wants us to realise that the only way to sort out our speech is for God to do his work in our heart at a deep level. Because we're very good at just trying to deal with the surface stuff and make excuses for our speech. And yeah, I said that, but you know, I was having a bad day, I had a bit of a headache. I said that, but I was just frustrated. He was a telemarketer, and I wasn't expecting the call. And it was because. But James wants us to stop making excuses and say to God, actually, my words are evidence that there's still a lot of work to be done in my heart. I want to please you with my life, so please keep changing me. Please keep changing me on the inside so that what comes out of my mouth causes good and not evil. A final thing. It's a heavy message that James gives us. But I don't want anyone here to misunderstand what James is saying about our status before God. I don't want anyone to go away from here thinking, oh, so you're saying my words have to be perfect, and then maybe God will accept me. I don't want anyone to go away thinking, oh, I can't be right with God until I've sorted out my speech. Because that's actually not what James is writing. James is assuming that God's people will fail in their speech. Verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. He's saying we. He's including himself in that. Verse 8, he says, no human can tame the tongue. So James is assuming, James knows that God accepts us as sinners. God accepts us because Jesus came and lived and spoke and died in our place so that we can be declared not guilty. But when James points to our heart here, James is saying that true believers must not be satisfied with mediocrity, with just staying the way things are. James is saying if you're a true believer, then the Holy Spirit will stir you to respond to his word and say with James, this should not be. The Holy Spirit makes us say within ourselves, oh, I don't want to speak in a way that sets off fires. I don't want my words to be poison. I don't want there to be a contradiction between praising God and hurting my brothers and sisters. James is saying, if I'm really a believer, I will long for God to keep on sorting out my heart and my speech. Not for my salvation. Not because that I think that if I start talking better, then I can be more sure that God loves me. No! Out of love for the God who has saved us and has called us to be his and has given us new birth by his word of truth. When we first came to Jesus, we repented. We said, I don't want to be controlled by sin anymore. I want to live for you. I want you as my Lord and my Saviour. But repentance in the Christian life doesn't end with that one event. There is a continuing repentance, a continuing recognition of our sins and asking for God's forgiveness and asking for victory over sin. So that as God keeps working in our lives, there's growth and there's change in our speech patterns. So that over time, as we follow Jesus, we learn how to build people up with our words and not tear them down. So friends, may God be active in our hearts
may he be glorified in our speech. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we read your word and we recognize our sinfulness. And so we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, that you accept us, that you saved us as sinners. But we ask you to change us. We ask that there would be growth. We ask that you would teach us, teach our hearts to love and teach our mouths to build up and to speak good news and to speak words of grace. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.